Since 1986, News from Indian Country has served Native American communities from its base in northern Wisconsin. According to editor and CEO Paul DeMain, the publication has covered topics including iron workers, spearfishing, casinos, federal recognition, hemp, taxes, treaty rights, boarding schools, corruption, and many others. But after 33 years, DeMain announced that the August 2019 issue would be the news source's last. In a letter on the outlet's website, he called the run, quote, a wild, wise, and wonderful ride. Paul DeMain joins us now from Hayward. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And please, people listening in, make your pledge to keep the news on the air.
Paul,
it helps.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. Well, I want to start by saying, I guess, condolences. I mean, you've put your heart and soul into this for three decades. How are you feeling now that it's over?
Well, it's not quite over yet. Certain parts of it are over, but I'm going through what is going to be about 45 years of writing materials. I started writing about American Indians and other issues when I was in high school at Wausau West High School and 16 years old and editor of, I think they called it the Clarion at the time. And I tend to be a pack rat on source documents and information, so I'm actually discovering repositories of information that are very valuable. So I want to spend some time in the next 3 or 4 months going through that and sorting out. I mean, I've got collections of reel-to-reels that people gave me because they thought I could find something to do with them at the time, and they're even out more moded even more than they were at the time when I received them. VHS, DAT tapes, cassette tapes. And, you know, I had this wonderful privilege of speaking to people and speaking to issues and learning about issues across North America. Actually, the Western Hemisphere is what we covered, indigenous affairs from the Maori all the way up to the establishment of Nunavut as another province in Canada. So we've covered everything, but I've had a privilege to sit down and interview leaders that have passed on, like Oneida Percy Paulus and Hillary Waukaw, the Menominee, and so many more people whose information and source documentation is underutilized and on a disk somewhere where it needs to be made public. So I'm going to spend some time trying to archive and inventory and see where some of these materials ought to go. So it's really kind of fascinating running through it. We've got something like 10,000 photos laying around our office, and we've got to figure out where some of that stuff goes here in the next few weeks and months.
Now, how would you describe News from Indian Country's mission over the last 30-plus years?
Well, I think it was kind of formulated probably in 1973 when I was in high school and I was reading articles produced by the Associated Press, for example, about the Wounded Knee takeover and Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, and another publication produced by Mohawk people out in New York called Akwesasne Notes. In Akwesasne Notes, you'd have 4 or 5 pages of information, materials. They talked about treaty rights. They talked about grievances. They talked about the lack of jobs, the lack of education, and all these other issues that help raise to the issue in the occupation of Wounded Knee, South Dakota, in a very symbolic event in 1973, covered worldwide during, I think, 72 days of occupation of that little hamlet. And then looking at the Associated Press, which, you know, kind of reflected a situation in which violent protesters had invaded this village and taken it over, and how short and sweet the facts are. And they were the facts, you know, who, where, what, when, and why kind of a thing. But they lacked, I think, the integrity of a background and sourcing and history. And so I think it was as early as high school that I said, you know, if I ever have a chance to own my own newspaper, that's what I want to do. And I want to give voice to the indigenous community, so it's their voice that's being projected, and not a 5 to 10 second clip on television or a short radio interview or some kind. Like we're going to be on for 15 minutes. I'm not going to be able to explain a whole lot of things during that time period. So I wanted to expand on the capability so that people had a better understanding of indigenous affairs and native history that comes from their own backyard.
in the run of news from Indian Country, there were some stories, a lot of coverage, looked at positive things and community building within Native groups and among Native groups. But you also tried to hold tribal governments' feet to the fire. You covered stories of corruption. Talk about that balancing act where you're trying to reflect the positive but not overlook the bad stuff.
No, I think we wanted to sit back and look at those basic covenants of journalism, and that is to try to be fair and balanced and give people a chance to discuss things and allow the public to formulate their position. But certainly, we were not afraid to deal with our own laundry in our backyard. So we did articles about tribal leaders involved in drugs and drug dealing, embezzlements, all the things that impair society in a regular way. We weren't afraid to hang out our own laundry. In fact, I like the idea that it was Indigenous people holding other Indigenous people accountable. Yes, we discussed mascot issues as a national issue. Yes, we've covered the revival of languages as an issue, and it's in all its depth and revival and what it represents. We've done beautiful stories about people doing beautiful things, but we also dug into the dirt of the community. We had to cover trials for people on murder, embezzlement, drug dealing, and some of those people were public leaders, and it didn't always make people happy. So I says we had something for everyone. We had good, bad, and ugly in our publication, but it's simply a reflection of the Indigenous community, as is any community. Probably one of the most startling cases that we worked with in depth with Richard LaCourse, a Yakima native who used to work with the William Randolph Hearst newspaper in San Francisco, and a couple of other Native journalists took on a review of the Leonard Peltier case. And we went into it after many, many years of support, all five or six of us, believing that Leonard Peltier might have been railroaded and framed, only to end up interviewing some women, which Peltier had bragged to about shooting agents. And one of the women in that group ended up being executed within 6 months of that event. We have since tied her murder to the suppression of evidence in the shooting of the two FBI agents. In fact, the fact that she was a recipient of Peltier bragging to her. When I first heard that, and the first time I heard that specifically was in an interview with Denver with one of the women Peltier had bragged to, I went down the highway and pulled over, and I just asked the question, why me? Why me? And I said, okay, I had to think about it for a while, about what this all meant, because I knew that it would make me someone in the tribal community that was looked down upon by some people who had pledged their political lives, their social lives, to trying to free this guy. So it was a difficult case, but the pursuit of the truth in this matter was what we were looking at, and I think that's what we achieved.
Talking to Paul DeMaine, Managing Editor and CEO of News from Indian Country, which has published its last edition after over 30 years. Paul, out on the landscape, are there other Indian Native American news sources that you're watching that you look to?
Well, I'm looking at the Indian Country TV, Indian Country Media Network, which is the old Indian Country Today publication, which quit publishing newsprint several years ago, went to an online digital format, and is now housed out of the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism in Arizona. And they're trying to revive and work with digitalization and video to save themselves. I mean, we've lost in Indian Country. 20 years ago, we had 700 publications. We probably got 150, 180 left. Many of those are public relations type news publications. And so you're going to get a lot of good news. You're going to get political perspectives from some of them. But the other thing is with the digital age comes all kinds of voices. You can look and see people posting stuff that's factual news. Takes a little bit of work sometimes to figure out and vet that news for accuracy and everything, but I think that'll evolve. But it was really the internet that changed the dynamic of news from Indian Country, and we've lost more than 60% of those publications that were in Indian Country as either private or tribal private enterprises of some kind.
So for the reasons for closing now, it sounds like you're going through the same issues that many newspapers have gone through over the last 10 or 15 years, as you mentioned, in part because of the internet.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's part of it. And part of it is after 40 some years of covering Indian country, I thought maybe I wanted to do something else and get out of that news grind. Some people live it until the very end. I've been involved in so many activities and seen so many things in Indian country. I've covered the food sovereignty movement. I really enjoy it. I tap trees myself. I just got done inoculating some oak trees with mushroom spawn this morning on the property I own. So there's plenty to do. There's plenty of opportunities to produce maybe a video podcast or something in the future, but I just want to take some time off after this and think about doing something different. I think I'm tired of the pursuit of trying to change from the old publishing format into the digitized format. It's time for someone younger to come along. We gave voice to some 400 or more writers over the years, and I'm very proud of the fact that we had at one point 17 employees. I've graduated some of those employees from the original 418K Macintosh computer into a computer world, and they've gone off and made a living. And those are the real important things, you know, to be able to see someone who's come and gone and is thriving in the community. We created jobs, we created economic stimulus, we gave hope to people. And so I think we've accomplished a lot, but it's time to do something different.
Well, Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you much. Appreciate it as well.
That's Paul DeMaine, managing editor and CEO of News from Indian Country, which recently announced it's ending publication after over 30 years. We talked to him about the news outlet's role in Native American communities.